football tonight. Miami Dolphins, after a very interesting, draining, exhausting, intense week after the Tyreek Hill arrest, and Calais Campbell being put in handcuffs, Jonnu Smith, we forget, it wasn't just Tyreek. I mean, he was the main thing, and he gets handcuffed, he gets thrown to the ground, but the other two guys were involved too.
They've already played a game since then.
I know, but that's had to be like a fog. You know, we talked about, is that like Scottie Scheffler when he had his run in with the police and gets taken down to the station and he gets, you know, in the orange jumpsuit and mugshot. He actually shot well that day. It was the next day after when it kind of all set in.
I mean, these players to me seem like they can compartmentalize in a way that I probably couldn't.
Welcome to the show, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to be with you. We want to get the thoughts of somebody who's been on the inside, and that is our pal Andrew Brand. He's the executive director of the Morad Center at Villanova. Of course, business of sports and former executive with the Green Bay Packers. He's a former player agent. Andrew, thanks so much for the time. Good morning. This morning, how are you?
Hey, Maggie. Hey, Andrew. Always good to be with you. I was listening about Tyreek. You know, it really dawned in my mind. I probably speak differently than everyone else. When I saw that, I'm thinking, okay, what's the team doing? What's the agent doing? What is the security doing? What is Tyreek's team doing about this? So when those things happen, I've been on both sides of that. There's a lot of stakeholders at play here, and everybody's got to get on the same page. So I would imagine Drew Brooks from Miami Security, Drew Rosenhaus, the agent, and the team management are all devising what's going to happen now, because this was as they're getting ready for the game. So this upset a lot of things that they're normally doing anyway.
Andrew, I was saying to Maggie, I found it interesting when he was arrested, he said call Drew Rosenhaus, the agent. There was no call the Dolphins, even though he was in the shadow of the building and come out and help. Is that typical if a player has an issue? I know you've been on both sides of this, to call the agent before the team?
Not really, unless he's there, and Drew was there, and it was, what, a mile away or so. I think if you have that situation where you know someone's, you know, right there, sure. But usually in those situations, when I was at the Packers, we'd hear from team security. We had three guys, and they would be called, or they would know from law enforcement. Now, Green Bay is tiny compared to Fort Lauderdale, Miami, so we sort of had a hold on everything going around there. We knew all the cops. That's how small it was. So it was a little different.
Andrew Brand is joining us. Andrew, sorry, just to follow up on something. You said there's just like a lot of stakeholders, right? Like a lot of people. It's not just Tyreek Hill and Calais Campbell and Jonnu Smith who went through that. A lot of stakeholders. Right. Is that like in a galvanizing way? Like everyone pulls together tighter? Or is that in like a there's a lot of tension type of way?
No, you try to get them all together, because what's going to happen is it's, as we know, gets very public and it gets very covered on the media. So everybody's got to know who's saying what, who's going to be the one saying it, and how's it going to react. Because in normal situations, if this was a Tuesday, a Thursday, it wouldn't be that dramatic. But of course, we know it was right before the game. So in my situation, working as the vice president of the Packers, when we had an issue with a player, my first call was the agent. Okay, what's going on? What's your view of this? What are we going to say? Who's going to say it? And are we on the same page with what's coming out? So getting everyone on the same page.
Yeah.
I mean, have the Dolphins done that? I feel like that team's had a lot of turmoil. I'm thinking of like some of the Stephen Ross stuff. I don't really do you think the Dolphins have done that so far? What's your sense of how they're handling this?
Yeah, I saw the statement, Andrew. I thought it was very, very empathetic and pro-Tyreek, which I get it. You're going to support your player, especially a star player like that. You know my saying, greater talent, greater tolerance. But when I read it, I'm like, oh, okay, because the police union, the local police, they got to deal with them on a regular basis. They're a stakeholder. So I wondered when I read that Dolphin statement, like, oh, okay, you're going to be on one side of this, and I get it. You have to pick a side. That's probably the side you pick. But it just seemed to me like, okay, now someone in that office is doing some back channel trying to soften the blow with the police union.
Do you expect the NFL to make a statement on this situation?
It's a good question. I think this might be more of a team aspect than a league aspect. So I would expect this to be handled internally with the Dolphins and not the NFL.
Andrew Brandt's joining us, former VP with the Packers, now Villanova, doing sports business, and he's the very best, and we appreciate it. And appreciate you coming on, Andrew, because we wanted to ask you about Deshaun Watson. So obviously the latest is the new allegations of sexual assault. It's a civil matter, not criminal, but yet a lot of details, at least from the accuser's side, that are very unsavory. Now, Deshaun has strongly denied the allegations through his lawyer. Listen, take us through this on the team side, because there's contractual stuff here. There's more than that. What are the Browns dealing with right now?
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. Let me try to do it. First of all, I say it again, I say it every time. The fact that this player got the strongest contract in the history of the sport still amazes me, because as soon as he got the contract, he promptly served an 11-game suspension. We know all about that. Having said that, Maggie, I'm going to use the word curious. I'm not going to cast any aspersions, but it's curious this report is coming out now and that a 4-year-old charge is being filed the day after he plays a bad game against the Cowboys. It's just, to me, it's like, wait, what's going on here? This was 4 years ago. The other thing about it is I know this is a date and this is not a quote unquote massage. I get it. But to me, Maggie, this is exactly the same behavior we read about in 2021 and 2022 that got him the suspension. Everything we're hearing about is like, yeah, I remember reading about that in New York Times and Jenny Brenters and all these people that said he did the exact same thing he did with this woman. My point in that is the Browns knew all that and, of course, signed him to this massive contract. And I get it. This is a date. This is not a massage. So maybe there's some differences. But like I said, my antenna go up with this report. And I've said it. And I'll say it again, it's the most unchangeable contract in the NFL because it's a rock-solid guarantee. There are no contingencies. You don't have to be on the roster to get the guarantee. It's guaranteed at signing, as the language goes. So everyone is asking, could they get out? Well, yeah. I mean, it would have to be a personal conduct violation. He's denying everything. It would have to be failure to disclose something. He's denying everything. I know there are people who want him out of that contract or have the ability to get out, but to me, that's a long road. That's a long road.
Andrew, do you think there's any chance, especially because he's not playing well, that the Browns would just take this massive salary cap hit and release him? Because I don't think they can trade him. But in the coming years, the $72 million and 25 and 26 possibly, is there any chance they just throw up their hands and say enough?
Well, there's two parts to this. Unlike every other player, there's cap, which is extraordinary, which is because what they've done is they've pushed out cap in the past 2 years. He's supposed to make $46 million salary. He's going to make $45 million bonus pushed out, only $1 million salary. So in other words, they've loaded $90 million already into the future years. If they cut him or release him or trade him, of course, they have $92 million of cash left. Forget about cap. So in most situations like Russell Wilson, you're dealing with cap, not cash. Here you'd be dealing with both, unless they get out from the guarantee somehow, some way. All this is to say, Browns fans, I don't think he's going anywhere. And listen, I know Andrew Berry, general manager of the Browns. I think the world of him. I knew him in Philadelphia. He's bright. He's Ivy League educated. He's a guy that was going to work for investment banking and took a turn to football. I don't think there's any thought from him that we need to get out of this. He is a fan of Deshaun, has been from day one. So where this is coming from, guys, I just don't know. It's not the Browns.
Andrew Brandt's joining us, the executive director, Morad Center at Villanova, of course, former vice president with the Packers. Got his Sunday 7 newsletter, which we absolutely love. You know, Andrew, you're talking about how they could possibly get out of this contract if they wanted to. If you're saying the general manager loves him, then, you know, maybe he's not going anywhere. But like the personal conduct side of this, right, and the new bylaws that got put in place by the NFL where right. if it's a second issue of sexual assault or violence in that way, then banishment is on the table. Like, I find that if any of these allegations end up being true, why couldn't they get out of this through conduct detrimental or something like that? It feels like if the allegations are true, it feels like it would fall in that category.
I suppose. I mean, again, this would be another act where he was already suspended for the 11 games. This is something different. But again, I mean, we don't need to get graphic, but he's getting on the table, wanting massage on his buttocks.
Yeah.
That's what I read for a whole year. So I'm guessing, you know, first he's going to deny. He may settle. This may take a year or more to wind its way through the courts. I just feel like there's kind of a rush to bury Watson with his bad game and continued bad play. And we got to look at this a little closer. This is nowhere near resolution, if that.
Real quick, Andrew, Jordan Love has sprained MCL, and it seems like he has a chance to play this week. When you're looking at a quarterback who just signed this big contract, who is making the decision? Is it just the head coach, or does a front office get involved when you're talking about possible long-term ramifications with a star player and an injury?
Well, I know the parties here well. Dr. Pat McKenzie is a close friend, and he to me, I know people say this, but he really is very conservative. So obviously Aaron knows this well. We held Aaron out longer than he wanted, held Brett out longer than he wanted, all these things. So I was shocked, Andrew, to read Matt LaFleur saying, hey, he could even play this week. So I guess my answer is trust the doctor. And you really look at medical, like what's going on? Will our doctor allow him to play? I'd be very surprised if he's cleared to play this week, but you never know. It seems like maybe this injury is not as bad as feared, and we'll see.
Andrew, sorry, last one for me, just a little one. Did you think the NFL in Brazil was a success? Do you think the NFL is looking at it that way? Do you think they'll go back?
Well, I'm a Packers fan. I didn't like the field.
Yeah.
I didn't like the result, but you saw the crowd sold out. I was involved with NFL Europe way back. It's just trying to get a foothold into new markets. From their vantage point, yes. Do I think they'd sell out more than a game or two in any of these markets except London? No, I think these are one-offs. They're diversions. They're always going to be sold out. But I don't like the idea at all of an international team or national conference. I just think we'll have these continued one-offs around the globe where it's a diversion. And people come and say, hey, this is really cool. Let's go see the NFL.
I don't like that you're living in Philly and you're not an Eagles fan yet. What can we do to win you over, Andrew?
Well, Eagles are number two. You know, I married into a big Philly sports fan. So,
tread lightly.
I love the Sixers, so I'm still there.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's you don't want to say anything or else you'll be sitting in the doghouse for Thanksgiving or something. Andrew Brandt, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for educating us. Of course, Executive Director Morad Center at Villanova, Sunday 7 newsletter, and former VP of the Packers, former player agent. He's done it all. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate that.
So much interesting stuff there. If you're a Browns fan, I think you hear that and say, wow, we might be stuck with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that. And also, Andrew Brandt has, as I said, seen it all, done it all in the league. Yeah. It's one thing for you or me or people on the outside to say, the timing of this is a little fishy, right?
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, not that we're shocked that another woman may have come forward. That was probably going to always happen. I mean, let's be real. But the fact that it's happening, he's playing poorly, the timing of it, like the fact that Andrew Brandt's on the inside and has been on the inside, and even he was like, the timing of this is interesting.
Yep.
Not that
yep.
it'd be coming from the Browns, but just noticing that the timing is interesting as opposed to this could have happened all offseason. It could have happened anytime. I mean, the Monday after week one. So it's just something to keep an eye on. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, Shane Battier, the two-time NBA champion, Alex Smith, the three-time NFL Pro Bowler. They've got a podcast. They're going to join us together, same time. See what they have to say next. Perloff, you know what I love? I love when we find out that professional athletes from different sports are friends with each other, and maybe ones that you might not expect on the surface because they might not be from the same place, or, you know, this is not like a Jason Tatum, Matthew Tkachuk type thing, or a, you know, Clayton Kershaw and Matthew Stafford thing. But we found out that Alex Smith, the three-time Pro Bowl quarterback, and Shane Battier, the two-time NBA champ and the national champ in college, these guys are not only friends, they're friends. They've got a podcast together. It's brand new. It's called Glue Guys. Really cool stuff about how to be great teammates, how to be great leaders. Like, should we have put Alex Smith and Shane Battier together our whole lives?
Well, I don't know. Are you guys really good friends, or is it just the podcast?
Alex Smith, Shane Battier, welcome to Maggie and Perloff. So glad to have you. Congrats on the pod. I mean, should we have guessed that you guys have been friends?
I don't think the world, knew they needed Alex Smith, Shane Battier, and Ravi Gupta until this week. So we'll see. We'll see if the world's ready for it.
Okay, Perloff's got some glue guys that he wants to run by you.
Yeah, so I was thinking about the term glue guys, and I have a really philosophical question. What if you're a glue guy who becomes a star? You're still a glue guy. And I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and I felt like Jason Kelce was the glue guy forever, but now he's so high profile, and he's retired, but is he still going to go down as a glue guy?
Yes, absolutely. I think we're adamant that, in fact, the best teams, probably the leaders and best players, are glue guys and have glue guy traits. You know, it's not necessarily, you don't have to be a role player, although that's obviously what I think people often think about first. But no, I mean, and obviously on the pod, we talk about all kinds of things, leadership, culture. There's teams everywhere, and we all have different roles in those teams, even our own family units or teams. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to chop it up. You said it, you know, Shane and I, very similar backgrounds, you know, Birmingham, Michigan, and San Diego, California, just screams, you know. And I think that's what makes it so fun and interesting, though, you know, is obviously what we all bring to this. And it's, I really enjoy just making fun of Duke University as well on the podcast. So, you know, lots of material there. But no, to answer your question.
Utah never scheduled us.
Oh, boy.
So I would love make fun of Utah.
You're right.
I think I know where they're located, but that's the kind of fun we have on Glue Guys.
Yeah. You can't. I guess Utah basketball. Yeah. I don't know. Even punched down there.
We used to be way back when.
Oh yeah, Keith Van Horn.
Yep,
my basketball glue guy was Derek White. Was a great glue guy, but now he's kind of a star too. And it's interesting. So I guess even though he was on the Olympic team, Shane, he can still be a glue guy, even though he obviously has the skills of a star player.
Glue guy, 100%, 100%. That's the thing about glue guys. You can find them at every level of a team. And sometimes they are the tall waivers. Like we talk about the special teamers on Alex's teams. I mean, those are the guys that held the locker rooms together. And you know, let's be clear. You know, there are a lot of glue gals out there too. So this is not gender specific. Glue guys, glue gals. It's the folks that just make teams run. You know, Derek White had a heck of a summer, a heck of a year, NBA champion, gold medal, played huge roles on both. So absolutely, you can be a glue guy, glue gal, and still be a star.
Shane Battier is joining us along with Alex Smith. They have a new podcast. It's called Glue Guys. It makes a lot of sense. Alex, I don't think of you as a glue guy, as a quarterback, number one overall pick, but, you know, I can understand where you're coming from. And you guys also have something interesting in common, which is you had great careers. I mean, Alex, 16 years in the NFL. Shane, 13 years in the NBA, if I'm counting that up right. And, of course, all the college success. I mean, you guys have done so much. You also were teammates with players who are universally thought of as the players of their generation in their sport. Shane, you with LeBron James, and Alex, you with Patrick Mahomes, even though it was earlier on in his career. Have you guys talked about, are there any similarities between these two guys? Because you had a unique vantage point about two, again, of the guys we consider the greatest of this era. Alex, you can go first.
Yes. Yeah, I'll jump on that. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I think what makes people great, what makes them outliers, And I think there are similar qualities. And that's even the fun thing that, you know, when we bring Ravi, obviously, into the conversation, who's the real star of the show, by the way, and he brings the business side to this.
Way smarter than us. Way smarter than us.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things right off the bat. They're obsessive. They're absolutely obsessive about what they're doing, right? This is something they're not hobbyists. They're not dipping their toe in. This is something that consumes them. They wake up every single day driven for this. And then they're relentless. Just absolutely relentless. I mean, for me, when I think about Patrick, he's coming every single day. He's right. Like, he's just going to get up. He's going to keep getting up. He's going to keep coming after you. And that relentlessness, I think, often gets forgotten about. I mean, we see the elite talent in both these guys. And I think we get caught up in that. And it is, don't get me wrong, like, talent is a part of this. But there's a lot of talented people out there. And I think what separates most people that reach that level are these other traits and qualities.
Yeah, Alex, I was surprised when you said Patrick Mahomes beat you to the facility every single day when he was just a rookie. Shane, what about LeBron? Any noticeable similarities with Mahomes?
Well, look, when both Pat and LeBron are facing the hottest fire, when the lights are the brightest, they show up. They show up. And so, like, you know, I laughed when LeBron had the reputation of not showing up when it matters. Man, I saw it firsthand when people were running away from the ball. All right. LeBron wanted to make that play. Pat wants that ball in his hand. Pat wants the other team to score just to get the ball back, right, with two minutes left. And it's so similar to LeBron. You know, we're facing elimination. Down 3-2 to Boston in the 2013 Eastern Conference Finals. All right, if we lose this, we all have new area codes next year. They're trading, they're blowing up the big three, and everyone's gone, right? And LeBron in the Boston Garden goes for 45, 12, 10, you know, four blocks, and we win the championship, right? And so when the pressure was the highest, you never had to worry when old six was going to do. He was going to show up, and same for Mahomes.
It's interesting. This week, we've been talking a lot about the Tyreek Hill incident in Miami and what effect that would have in the locker room. Would it galvanize the locker room? I'm curious, when there's a tough issue or a controversy, what role do glue guys and really locker room leaders play? Say there was an issue where the locker room was divided. Where does leadership come in that case?
Yeah, I mean, I think all these situations are different. Listen, I mean, with Tyreek, you know, this is a former teammate of mine. I think people often forget, yeah, we're there. It's right before game day. We're there to entertain and put on a show, but human beings first. And I think in moments like that, you have to step in, and you're worried about your teammate first, your buddy. I mean, how's he doing? Right. I mean, the game is secondary, in that moment, and trying to make sure he's okay. Right. I mean, I couldn't fathom, that situation. You know, I was literally working TV when, you know, Sunday morning when that broke, and to see your former teammate face down on the pavement over a traffic violation still is obviously, I just can't, again, growing up in San Diego, that's not something that I'm familiar with. And so thinking about him, I'm just thinking about how can I help him? How can I be there for him in that moment? You know, and then also having played with him, knowing Tyreek, like, not shocked he went out there and got a touchdown and went for over 100 yards. Like, the guy is has that kind of he's that kind of a competitor. You know, I think that he could compartmentalize things, and I do think that sports oftentimes can be an escape for all of us, right? That when we do have things going on in our personal life, when the whistle blows and we step out there, it can be this escape to kind of forget our problems that we may have. And so, I mean, a lot going on there, but I do think that's at the core of these phenomenal teams, that they can handle situations like that better than most. And I think in times like that, at least for me, it's bigger than sports. And I do think that the humanity of it comes first.
Yeah, I'd agree with Alex. The quintessential trait of a glue guy is building trust in the locker room. And so that shows up when there's crises and when there's adversities, and glue guys, glue gals just know what to do when situations arise in the locker room, you know. And this is no different than in corporate America, where there's, you know, a major incident. Hey, Let's figure this out together. All right. If everyone, you've had a bad week at work, you bring a Starbucks for everybody. All right. You take everybody out to the bar. All right. And just glue guys know what to say at the right time. And it's those catalysts that make the teams go around, especially successful winning teams.
We're talking with Alex Smith and Shane Battier. Of course, you know them as the football player and the NBA player, but they also have a podcast together now. It's called Glue Guys, bringing all their expertise along with Ravi Gupta, the money behind this thing from the business world. You guys all get together. You do this fantastic podcast. We're talking about the athlete side, obviously, with a three-time Pro Bowler, comeback player of the year, a two-time champion, and a college champion. But I want to talk about the coaches aspect of this, too. Now, you guys have both played for coaches who are, I mean, legendary, a lot of them. Shane, maybe you take this one first. Coach K and Jim Harbaugh, any similarities between those two guys?
You know, I don't think, I know this is true for Coach K, but I'm pretty sure this is true for Jimmy Harbs. they don't have many hobbies outside of their craft, right? The amount of thought and energy and belief they dedicate to their teams, their specific teams, is, first of all, exhausting. It's exhausting. And most leaders, most coaches aren't willing to pay the price to only think about their teams. Yeah, when I play in the NBA, I'm playing for the Miami Heat, going for championships, and I'm calling Coach K in the middle of the year, and all Coach K wants to talk about is the backup point guard at Duke. And I'm like, Coach, I don't really care what's going on with the backup point guard at Duke. How are you doing? And it's a switch that the truly, truly greats possess that most people don't. Their singular focus on their teams and delivering what each person, each coach, each administrative assistant, each player, each walk-on needs, and delivering that to that person every single day. And it's that commitment to your people and your teams that set them apart.
Alex, Maggie, what about
the wise, Jim? In the wise words of Jim Harbaugh, more is more. Less is not more. Okay. And I pull out Harbaughisms all the time. You know, Shane's right. Like, listen, this although these are different sports and obviously different guys, like, there again, there are commonalities. And we talk about leaders and coaches all the time, the people that set culture, not just from a coaching or managerial aspect, but within the building as well. The carriers of culture, and certainly coaches have a huge role in this. Leaders have a huge role in this. And it's fascinating, I think, to talk about. And again, the correlation between, sports and business, it's a lot stronger than people think. And so fun. I'm anxious to see, Coach Harbaugh dip his toe back into the NFL ranks and his endeavor to be a world champion, to steal his words. But it's fascinating. And I think he's going to have a ton of success for the same reasons that he's had success everywhere he's been. And it's not necessarily a technical thing, right? It's not an X's and O's thing. It's far more philosophical and culture and a matter of selflessness, right? He has such a great ability to get everybody to raise their level of commitment and to pull in the same direction and put themselves secondary to the team. And I think, again, I'm anxious. As again, I mentioned that Chargers are a bit of a sore spot for me, again, growing up in San Diego and then moving up to LA, but still pulling for them and Jim, now that he's taken over the reins.
You know, Shane, we're talking about coaches, and I know you didn't play with them, but, you know, the brotherhood of Duke, and now J.J. Redick is stepping into this really big spot of coaching your former teammate LeBron and coaching the Lakers. I mean, if there's one thing you would tell J.J., listen, don't do this. Like, avoid this. Maybe try to stay away from this. What would that be?
Well, we can't wait. We have a lot of guests on Glue Guys, and so Coach K has committed to come on the show this year, and so we're going to fly out to Durham and hopefully do that in person. So we're going to introduce Alex to the Brotherhood.
I can't wait.
There's some resistance, but once you go to Durham and step in Cameron, you become a dookie. Look, JJ is super smart, and I'm not betting against him. He is a relentless competitor. He's very bright, very observant. The locker room of an NBA team, and I would say the same thing for the NFL, is tough for the reasons that the players are always trying to judge, okay, is this guy legit? Is this coach legit? Does he know what he's doing, right? And so you have to be so prepared to answer every question when it comes to game planning and have contingency plans and have contingencies on contingencies. And you just have to be so tight with your messaging and your skills. And he's got a great staff. And so he's going to prepare. He's going to have people around him that really, really know the game. And so JJ is going to figure it out. And so I'm rooting for him. He's got a tough job, but he's got, you know, the greatest player of all time on his roster. So that's not a bad place to start.
I'm sorry. The correct answer was play Bronny. We will accept your answer. The correct answer was play Bronny. No, just kidding. Okay, so we have Alex Smith here. We have Shane Battier. They got a new podcast. It's called Glue Guys. Clearly, you guys have some chemistry. This is going to be a very fun listen. But we've also brought you here to do something else. We do something on the show called Celebrity Guest Picker. Now, we ask celebrities to pick NFL games. Alex, we think you'd be a little too good at this. So we are going to put you to the side for a second. Shane, you're up. We have three NFL games we'd like you to pick. And then, Alex, maybe you can come in after and do a grade or something on Shane.
I would love to critique Shane's picks. Yes.
Well, let's get it going. All right, Shane, we sent you three games. Week two in the NFL will start tonight. Bills at Dolphins. Dolphins a 2.5-point favorite. Who do you have?
You know, watching those games last week, Dolphins did not look great in the first half. They're a little banged up in the backfield. But I believe in Mike McDaniels. He is he's a wizard. And so it doesn't really matter who is out there for them. Jeff Wilson, hopefully my man, does something tonight. And I'm going with my former home, Miami, -2.5.
All right.
Buffalo, they're a little weak in the receiving room, and so I don't know if they're gonna be able to move the ball on the Dolphins' D.
Let's move on. Bengals at the Chiefs. Now this has changed a little bit. It was a 6-point spread. Now it's come down to 5. Chiefs are a 5-point favorite. Who do you have?
Somebody knows something, and that somebody is right. This is like the typical overreaction first week. Bengals did not look good last week, right? Chiefs look like you know, unbelievable. And so I am going to take the Bengals and the points.
Love it. Okay. And finally, we just kind of guessed that you were probably a Lions fan because you grew up in Michigan. So Bucks at Lions. Lions a 6.5-point favorite.
I cried. I cried last year when the Lions beat the Rams. I never thought in my life wow. I would see a live playoff win. I'm serious. I cried.
Wow.
So there's no way I'm going against Dan the Man. Lions roll. Big.
All right. So here we go. You got the Dolphins -2.5, the Bengals plus the 5, and the Lions laying the 6.5. That was Shane Battier's picks. He's our celebrity guest picker. Now I give it to Alex Smith, the 3-time Pro Bowler, comeback player of the year. How did Shane do?
Lots of homer picks in there for Shane. It was a real shocker. I believe it or not, I'm taking every other team that Shane picked. I think the Bills have owned this series. They still got this guy named Josh Allen who's pretty good. I think he shows that. Listen, I love Stephon Diggs. I think he's a phenomenal player, and I think he's going to have a great year at the Texans. But there had been so much drama around his relationship with Josh and us talking about it all the time in the media. And I think the fact that that's kind of out of that locker room, I think it's going to kind of clear things up for Josh. I think he has a phenomenal year. I think they've owned this series and they beat the Dolphins. The Bengals looked like one of the worst teams in football in week one. They could not push the ball down the field. I mean, they obviously have all, you know, they just got Ja'Marr Chase back. I think they're still potentially going to miss T. Higgins. I like the Chiefs again, rolling off a long rest. Nobody's better off long rest than Andy Reid. And I love the Lions. I love Dan Campbell. I love Jared Goff. I love everything that the Lions have built. But I think maybe the team that looked the best in week one was the Tampa Bay Bucks and Baker Mayfield. This was the best Baker Mayfield that I've seen in a long time. And he was chunking it downfield. The ball was coming out of his hand. He was decisive. This was a shootout last year in the playoffs between these two teams, a shootout. And I think the Bucks, you know, little people are kind of sleeping on them. I think they have a chance to at least cover, if not win outright.
You know, Alex, one game we didn't put the Jets on there. Congratulations, a great interview with Aaron Rodgers last Thank week. You. What did you see in week one on Monday night from Rodgers?
Yeah, they had the toughest task in football. I mean, fly across the country on Monday night and play the defending NFC champions, one of the best, most physical teams in football. Aaron hadn't played in a year and a half, essentially, maybe even longer. You know, he'd played four plays. So there was going to be some rust. This is just what they needed. They needed to go across. Aaron looked good. He came out healthy. You know, I didn't expect him to win this ball game. I think they bounced back. You know, this is kind of maybe sometimes just what you need, right? And Aaron even said it. If they won, they were going to be Super Bowl champs. If they lost, they were going to be, you know, dirt. And I think they bounce back and get a good win here against the Titans.
Guys, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Alex Smith, a three-time Pro Bowler, former number one overall pick, comeback player of the year in such an inspiring way, Alex. And Shane Battier, the two-time champion and the NCAA champion. You got a new podcast. It's called Glue Guys, along with Ravi Gupta, who is the business wizard behind this. But, you know, you guys clearly get along, as I said. Really good chemistry. It pops off the screen. So thank you so much, and good luck. And
by the way, we're glue guys. You could tell, right? Shane and Alex.
Let's go.
We're total glue
100%.
Guys.
100%.
Well, I mean, I'm more of a star, but that's fine.
You can be both. You can be both.
I learned that I can be both now from you two. So thank you so much. And again, best of luck on the pod. And now you are head-to-head on these three picks.
I know we're going to have push-ups on the line.
Oh, yep. Yep,
I'm on.
I love it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Alex Smith, Shane Battier, Ravi Gupta, they got a pod.
This is now going to be more fun to watch this weekend to see who is right, Alex or Shane.
I love it, too. It's like head-to-head. It's like Mortal Kombat, like fight.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Bogish will be back with some headlines for us on all the latest that you need to know to get your day off to a good start.
All right, the dependable player of the week is sponsored by Depend and the Prostate Cancer Foundation, reminding you that health is a long game and screening for prostate cancer is easier than ever. Learn more at depend.com. All right, so who is our Depend player of the week? There was some discussion here. Who picked it? EJ is still in his home studio for only one more show. EJ will be returning Monday, but you have a job right here, buddy. Who is the dependable player of the week?
Okay. Well, you got to guess it. You're not going to guess it? Isn't that how this works?
Oh.
Asia Wilson.
Ooh.
Dependable player of the week. No.
Las Vegas Aces.
I'm going to go with Jordan Mason.
Oh, go football. Perloff right on the money.
That's a good one.
I was actually going to say Joe Mixon, but I'm like, he's not picking Joe Mixon. So it's got to be, because it was a big running back week. So I thought it'd be a running back.
Let's go one. Yeah, no. Jordan, dependable player of the week. Jordan Mason, 147 yards rushing. Talk about being dependable. I mean, he gets, maybe he wasn't thrust in the action because it sounds like maybe he knew on Friday, but whatever. He gets put into the game unexpectedly to the rest of the world that Christian McCaffrey wasn't going to start, and basically looks like Christian McCaffrey out there running all over the Jets. So this one was easy for me to pick. So Jordan Mason, you're a dependable player of the week.
Dependable enough that Maggie's wondering why the Niners are paying Christian McCaffrey all that money. All right, Andrew Bogish, your headlines were pushed back for Shane Battier and Alex Smith, but now let's go.
Guys, it's official. The rare 6 a.m. Pacific announcement from the Pac-12, the conference accepting the applications of Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, and Colorado State, giving them six schools starting in summer 2026. The league needs to have eight members by then. More from the Mountain West could follow these four, or the Pac-12 could look elsewhere. Leaving the Mountain West requires a $17 million payment from each school and $43 million from the Pac-12. That penalty, part of the scheduling alliance the two leagues have for this season. Fire up the Amazon Prime video machine. Thursday Night Football is back tonight. Dolphins hosting the Bills. Josh Allen's left hand is fine, but Miami might be without two running backs. Raheem Mostert's definitely out with a chest injury. Devon Achane, a game-time decision with an ankle. The Mets roped a few dopes yesterday afternoon in Toronto, lulling the Blue Jays to sleep by not getting a hit off Bowden Francis for eight whole innings and then pouncing in their last AB.
That's driven to deep right field, and a home run ends this no-hit bid. Linsanity! Francisco Lindor ties the game with a ninth-inning home run. As big a hit as the Mets have had all season. Francisco Lindor breaks up the no-hit bid and the shutout, and he ties the game with his 31st home run of the year. And it's 1-1 in the ninth.
And that's why he's not the NL MVP. Gary Cohen on SNY. The Mets tacking on 5 more runs top 9 for a 6-2 win. Then the Braves lost to the Nats 5-1. So the Mets again have a 1-game lead on Atlanta for the last NL wildcard spot.
Wait, question. Is Linsanity, like, people are saying this now?
No, Gary Cohen is saying
it. Yeah, I didn't think Linsanity was up for grabs,
it's
especially
not.
In New York. That's
Jeremy
like
Lin.
Not.
Well, I think he's doing it because it's New York, and it just makes the whole Mets thing even more obnoxious to
Asia
me.
Would another broadcaster do, like, you know, someone scores and they're like, in hockey, like, the great one. Wait a minute, that one's taken.
Or if Fernando Tatis hit a home run and they said Fernando Mania, which you young people probably don't remember, was when Fernando Valenzuela came along. You can't do that. There's certain things you can't do.
Asia Wilson now holds the WNBA single season points record, breaking the mark that Jewel Lloyd set just a year ago. Wilson finished with 27 as the Aces took care of the Fever, 86-75 in Indiana. Caitlin Clark scoring 16 on 6 of 22 shooting. And finally, Pearl thinks he would have heard something dancing at the Sexy Red Show. Imagine what would happen if he played golf with Joe Buck. Here's the ESPN voice explaining how he broke his wife, Michelle Beisner's, ankle while playing golf.
She did a headstand at the end of the tee box for good luck out into my left. And at the exact moment that I was teeing off, she decided with her feet in the air to do the splits, thereby dropping her right leg a little bit to the side, right in my line of fire, and I hit a golf ball, tailor-made with little designs on it, into the inside of her right ankle and shattered it.
That's right.
Oh,
shattered.
Attaboy, Buck.
Wow, that sounds... could have been even worse.
Beisner had surgery yesterday to hopefully alleviate nerve pain in the ankle as her recovery continues.
I mean, how do you not look at your husband, even if it's a mistake, even if it was 100% accident, you're in so much pain. How do you not look at them and just be like, I'm going to kill you?
I don't want to blame the victim, but why is she doing cartwheels on the tee box?
I don't know.
For in front of him.
For good luck.
Yeah, she said that. Apparently she does it a lot. So.
Right.
I don't know.
But I've always wondered, by the way, what the impact of a golf ball is. Like, so you could hit somebody in that. You know when celebrities are at a pro-am and they're not great at golf?
Yeah.
And everybody's right there for the drive? Like, it sounds like
Couldn't that be me.
Do a ton of damage.
Well, I was a cute cart girl at a golf course in high school, and I got pelted more than once by a ball from distance, and it was crushing. I can't imagine getting hit up close, like, immediately after contact with the club. I don't know what your velo or your radar gun would say, but it's got to be clearly well above 100 miles an hour.
This happened to Jerry Recco at WFAN. Didn't he hit a golf ball, I think, off a tree, and it ricocheted back and hit him.
Was he hurt?
I think so.
Well, you guys would be safe. If I was driving, you'd be perfectly safe because that's about 14 miles per hour. Shank to the left.
It's an Ephus drive.
Yeah.
Even standing behind Perloff is not safe.
If it even goes forward, you might get hit with the ball 8 feet behind me.
Oof.
That is a crazy, crazy story.
Yes. Crazy. Like the all the things that need to line up for her foot to be perfectly in line with her. The tiny golf ball.
And the thing is, we feel like we know them. So, like, if any other couple said that, I'd be like, yeah, right, likely story. Like, who knows what actually happened? But this, you don't make that up.
There's well, I was a specific. Cute cart girl at a golf course in high school.
I was.
Great tips.
Yeah, but apparently they were trying to hit you with the ball. So maybe.
It wasn't enough to get my attention.
So that means you walked around with booze or cigars, or what were you walking around with?
Beers, a little hot dog thing, candy, chips, regular
just
drinks.
Just in the middle of the course, you actually got hit by balls? That's
in a
hysterical.
Car, yeah. I mean, you got to drive all around. So
I like a tight ass.
There's balls. That sentence.
Oh, God. That's the video I want to see of Bogus. You know,
could you sense the disappointment of the men when you pulled up and it was you?
Well, I don't think at a public golf course in Queens they're expecting a
Hooters girl.
Yeah,
I'm imagining the beer sales.
Believe me, they are.
The beer sales were brisk, I am imagining.
Beer sales were brisk, yes, always.
Thank you, Andrew Bogus. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to Shane Battier and Alex Smith who joined us. Thanks to Andrew Brandt who joined us. Wow, what a day. We're back tomorrow to preview week 3 of college football, week 2 of the NFL. We'll see you then.